are tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Violin playing.
Get it, guys. I'm gonna conduct you guys from this side of the table. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the AfterBuzz TV after show for the originals. It's season 2, episode 18. Oh, crap. I turned my page. Hang on. It's Night Has a Thousand Eyes. I am your host, Tiana Hobson. Clearly, Roxy Stryer is not here right now because I don't know what I'm doing. Joining me today, I have the beautiful Katie Campbell.
Hello, hello. You can find me on Twitter at KatieEE Campbell. That's Katie with three E's Campbell.
Hi, I'm Donna Romaine. You can find me on Twitter at Tigris Hobbs.
And, make sure you guys are checking us out on YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud, all those awesome things. AfterBuzz TV, search for us, like us, comments, tweets, all that stuff. Just give it to us because we love you. And I'm so excited to talk about last night's episode, I should say. And we're going to just dive into the thing that I think everyone was the most shocked about from this episode, because all the articles I've been reading today are all like, that shocking death in the episode of the originals last night. And you're both of you guys, now I know how Roxy feels when we're all like antsy to say something.
And part of me wants
to just keep talking so that you guys have to keep like holding it in and bottling it up, but I'm gonna let you go. Katie, go.
I have an opinion about that because I wasn't shocked. Well, I was shocked about who killed him, but I was not shocked that Michael died. I thought he was gonna die at the hands of Dahlia tonight.
Michael, I was shocked. I wasn't shocked that Michael died because I actually read an article with an interview from Klaus saying that he was surprised that somebody got killed off, and it's always shocking when someone you work a lot with got killed off. So I knew somebody was gonna die. And then, you know, you never trust Mike. Klaus killed his own real dad. He wants to kill, he made the mother a vampire. He's gonna kill him. It's gonna happen. I said it, I was watching it with Katie, and Katie was watching it the second time, and I was like, oh, Melissa was there too. I was like, he's dying. He's killing him. He's killing him.
He did.
All right, so Donald, I didn't really see this happening tonight because we just killed Esther last week. And it's like a bad time to be a Michelson parent.
True, but I don't think that Esther's dead. I think she's in the necklace.
I don't think she's dead either.
You don't think she's dead? Okay.
No, because this is the thing. A lot of those birds were dead on the floor. I can say I did see
they
that.
Were dead
but
birds.
There was at least 10 to 15 that I saw fly away, like, to be honest. And so I don't think that she's dead.
But here's the thing. They would have flown away if she was she wasn't a vampire and she died as a witch. But since she died as a vampire, quote-unquote died, she went missing as a vampire, that means, like, her body isn't really alive anymore, so the crows aren't really alive anymore either.
Okay, so the crows are alive but dead on the floor is what you're saying.
Well, but this is the thing though, because remember when Rebecca knew that Esther found her in Hope was when she saw the crow watching her. Mm-hmm. So like,
which was Dahlia though, I think.
Oh, Dahlia. Yeah. Dahlia, was it? No, it was Esther.
I really think it was Dahlia.
It was Dahlia.
Because Esther didn't know about the baby being alive. That's so true. It could have been Esther.
You're right,
all right,
you're right.
We're all over the place. Let's go back a little bit, and we're going to talk about Klaus and Michael's sort of partnership that happened through this episode. So Klaus goes on a mission to find Michael. He enlists Davina for help to track him down because he wants to hijack Freya's plans with Michael and turn him into his own. So we know that Michael went and got the three elements that are needed to sort of bond a weapon to create a weakness for Dahlia. Mm-hmm. And those three elements were soil from her homeland, Viking ash, and the blood of Freya, since that's the closest thing to love she's had, which was kind of sad because Freya does not love her right now.
Well, you can't, it's just like Klaus, you can't force them to love you. You can't force people to respect you and care for you and love you. And I just wanted to say about the whole Davina finding Micah, like, that was a little lame to me. Like, he got out of the taxi cab in the city, in the middle of town. Like, it's not like he was, like, impossible to find.
Pretty easy to find.
Yeah, but I thought it was interesting that those were the three elements, especially being elements that are so kind of easily found and easily to bring a backup. Like, let me bring a second sack of the homeland soil. Let me bring a second sack of ash, Viking ash.
They should have gotten extra at the museum.
Yes, that's what I thought also.
But maybe there wasn't that... I mean... First of all, what museum are you going to that has Viking, like, ash on display? Here's Viking ash.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
That seems kind of weird to me to find in a museum. I would have thought he would have had to, like, go grave digging or something and find old Vikings and burn their bones or something like that.
I don't know. It was interesting. I thought it was definitely interesting, but I thought the relationship between Michael and Klaus was, it almost seemed like they were bonding over this.
But it was weird.
It was weird.
It was weird because of what they were bonding over. And I love there was two things that were said. Klaus said something along the lines of that, you know, they were both fighting to save the lives of the only people that don't see them as the monsters that they truly are, which is both of them have daughters now, so they have that common ground. And then Klaus also says, you know, that they're getting together. Or no, he says that he's just as vicious and hateful just like Michael. So even though he's not Michael's son and Michael doesn't want to claim him, he's like, but I am just like you. You made me this way.
But what I thought was weird is how calm they were sitting next to each other. And usually when we see them together, it's kind of like very high tension because they want to kill each other. And it's just so, I mean, I guess it's just the fact that Dahlia is more powerful and they're trying to team up. But it's just weird seeing that relationship between them change like that.
Actually,
there's an interesting comment, and I just want to give big props to Tiana as a chat mistress, because this is hard. But an interesting fact that was brought up by Edwin was that Vikings aren't buried, they're burned at sea traditionally, which is why it would make it so hard to find Viking ash.
Thank you. The more you know.
Done. The more you know.
That's really interesting, and I think it kind of throws off the next thing I was going to say, so I'm at a loss for words right now.
What were you going to say?
I can't remember, because that just threw it out of my brain.
The elements were so easy, but maybe we can talk about that ridiculous plan to make that knife a weapon.
Okay, so Donald and I both were, like, talking over each other because we were so passionate about all the things that they did wrong in their plan, which, first of all, is you never use all of... You never take the knife to the fight when you don't exactly know what you're going
against. Show your cards. Let's just walk into the church and just hold the knife so they can
see
our cards.
And they just kept holding it, and they kept like, oh, we're dying, and I'm going to crawl as I'm turning to stone and grab for it. Like,
what made me mad, though, is at the very end when Michael said, you know, your ridiculous plan, Klaus. But if you thought it was that ridiculous, you should have stood up and not gone with his plan.
I agree with that. And to start off, haven't we always learned that doing things separately never succeed? We never succeed that way. We never, ever do. And yet, they can continue to do it. They continue to do it. So I thought it was interesting that, yet again, they decided to go at their own pace, do their own thing. And I had at least three, like, who is it that said there should be a second weapon? And you know what sounds stupid, but, like, I was like, why didn't you put it in some water or put it in the sprinkler system or something? I don't know.
Put it in the water because she already referred to herself as the Wicked Witch once in the episode. So they put it in the water and then throw it on her and then, melting! What a cruel world!
Well, what I'm wondering, too, though, is was she even really in the church? Remember earlier in the season we saw Esther put herself in front of Klaus, but it really wasn't her.
I think she was actually there just because the way she was controlling everyone who they were fighting against, who I don't even know who those people were. I don't know what they were. But
could she be so powerful that she's doing it from a distance?
But she actually touched the knife. So does that mean she was there because she had to physically touch it and do the magic?
I can't trust how powerful she really is.
Right, I think she's very powerful, but I also think that because throughout the whole episode when we were seeing her before, she was going into people and sort of delivering messages that way, that because we actually saw her there, it's her. And I think that she is powerful enough that she's not afraid to go in front of them and show who she is, because she's like, well, I mean, they think they're going to get to me, which, how unfair is it, a vampire versus a witch fight? Which is gonna win that every single time? Because all they gotta do is flick their wrist and you're turning into, you're like, literally freezing, yeah. Like you're turning into stone from a flick of a wrist.
Yes.
You can't compete against that.
Yeah.
No.
You need to have like a knife thrower there.
That's what I said. Get a crossbow or something. But yes. Then she would have just disappeared. I don't know. You know, honestly, we're saying all these things, but I guess, like, in the heat of the moment and when it really comes down to it, it's probably, you know, you don't... Mm-hmm. Well, no, you should. This is your daughter. This yeah. is your daughter. So, and you know what? I take that back.
The only thing that really made me mad is because Klaus, who I love and adore, he's so smart and he's so on top of these little details where he usually does have that extra plan in his back pocket that I was really expecting for him when at the end when they were arguing for them to just be like, actually, Freya, we didn't waste it all on just this weapon. Here's the other one. Or this one we took was actually the fake because we wanted her to show us her true colors before taking the real knife with us.
Right. Maybe what happened, though, is that, like, it's his daughter, so he felt like he had to act quick and he acted too fast, but at the same time in his back pocket was the fact that he could kill Michael and have Viking Ash.
Yeah, I think that
because he was walking around with that white oak steak the whole episode, and I was like, dude, put that thing away.
Yes, put it away. I think his backup plan was Michael. And someone just mentioned that is Cole a Viking? Because he has his ashes. But we don't know. I don't know. That's just what someone mentioned in the chat. Do we know?
No, because Cole's not in Cole's. Oh, because we're talking about his
real
body, but he was turned into a vampire. Well, no, because
Michael's a vampire.
But Klaus loves his brother, and he doesn't love his father.
He's not
going to
use those ashes. You're right.
But speaking of Klaus and his father, let's get down to this conversation that they had, like the very last thing where I was just like, this is so beautiful. Klaus is crying right now. And he was like, I just want to know why. There was a point in time before you knew that I wasn't actually your son, before all the deceit, you never treated me right, even before you knew the truth. So why did you always treat me like this? And he just says, I don't know.
Did you see his face during the whole thing when Klaus was crying? He was just like, he had no emotion.
No emotion.
No, it
hurt, though.
It's hard because his emotion it roots back to Esther's infidelity, and it's not really about Klaus. And I feel bad for Klaus because he's a victim. He's a child. He didn't ask to be born. He didn't ask to be a symbol of his wife's cheating. He didn't ask for any of that. And Michael, like, I think that's what really does make Michael the evil one, is the fact that he can't get beyond that, and he's ruined another human being because of his own. It's like you're turning around and doing the same thing to somebody else when you were damaged by your wife. Like, it's hard, and I felt like it was very touching when Klaus was crying, because it's like, you can see all the source of his pain. It's right here.
Yeah.
And then he
just brought out that stake and stabbed him, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, it was such a beautiful moment, and then I understand why Klaus did it, because, you know, it's sort of like, enough. Klaus has already killed Michael once. Mm-hmm. He's clearly, like, not afraid to do it. He's done it again now, and from what I'm reading, he's gone, because there is no other side, so there's no way to bring him back over again, so dad's done. Like, both of Klaus's fathers are done.
And, you know, Klaus needed to do that, too, because he almost kind of was seeing if there was anything redeeming in his father before that by saying, you know, why, Dad? Like, why did you always treat me like this? And since there was nothing, he could be a possible threat down the road. If Dahlia is killed and everything seems fine, he could still be a possible threat and want to kill Klaus.
Oh, I think that if Klaus didn't kill Michael would have just killed Klaus anyways, no matter what. Because he showed no emotion right up until the very end. He showed no emotion. And so I just don't see what would have happened for him to actually show any care towards Klaus.
Yeah. I mean, in the real, like, bullet to Klaus's stomach was when he says, what are your last words? And his last words
looks right past him
over to Freya, who's being restrained, which, Freya, you killed your mama, so how about you not judge Klaus right now? Even though we don't think she's actually dead, you still went in there and viciously kind of took away Esther, but now you're getting mad because your brother wants to do the same thing you did to your mom, to your dad? You can't have it both ways, Freya. I'm through.
Klaus said, like, don't, you know, if you come and try to attack me, then with a flick of my wrist, I could just kill him. She could have done something. She's powerful, right? Couldn't she have just, like, done something to make him just stop and maybe, like, fumble with his hand for a second?
I think we saw earlier in the night Klaus fighting even Dahlia's sort of restraint, and as he was, you know, turning stone, and we saw that willpower to go on and still strive to go grab that knife, that even if she had done something, he would have fought through it enough, because the amount of pain he was feeling and anger and emotion just was enough to kind of surge and push him through. To, I mean, he already had it up to Michael's heart. All he had to do was push.
Right.
He's a vampire. That's like a nudge. Like, really a poke of the finger. Yeah. It's like,
really quick.
Boop.
It's just a little flipper.
and it's in there.
I guess.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's R.I.P., Michael.
Yes. We'll take a moment like last time.
We'll miss you? Question mark? I don't know.
I'm not going to miss Michael.
I'm not going to miss him, but I'm going to miss sort of the anxiety that he brings to the show with me watching it.
Yeah, because he's really scary.
Yeah.
And I like being scared.
It's fun to have somebody that is Klaus's weakness. And somebody who can affect Klaus to the fact that he's crying. Yeah. Also, I thought it was very interesting when Klaus was sitting there with Davina right before they found Michael. And Davina was like, how do you think it's to be like one of us? And Klaus didn't do, like, the stone face. He didn't back off the question. He just was like, you could see him take it in for a moment, like, yeah, I got something now. So I think maybe we'll be seeing more of the human side of Klaus.
Coming out.
You know, like, he's killed his dad. He's killed his other dad. You know, we don't know. He made Esther a vampire. Like, I feel like he's an actor to revenge. Once Adelia's gone, maybe we'll see more of a human side.
Yeah, it would be nice to see him kind of grow with hope. And, you know, if he really wants her to see him as, you know, something other than a monster that everyone else sees him as, then he's definitely going to have to change his attitude, because as she gets older, she's going to notice these things, just like he noticed about his father and mother and most of his siblings. You know, so it's something that he has to definitely think about. And speaking of hope, we have, on the other side of town, we've got my favorite couple who really pissed me off this episode, I will say, Jaylee, and their quest to save Hope, which, like Donald said earlier, people, when you do things separately without the group, it just doesn't work out.
Can we work as a team here?
Can we work as a team?
We got Dahlia. Let's just work as a team.
Yeah, let's just come together and figure it out.
And that's, being together is the strongest thing, especially in this safe house. I feel like that might be stronger than them on the run when Dahlia is basically everywhere all the time.
This is what really pissed me off about Jackson.
I love how serious Donald just got now.
I have been a champion of Jackson's stepfatherly love this whole time. But Jackson, Dahlia came for Hope. You're gonna, you know, you and your powerful self are gonna take Hope, the thing that Dahlia wants, into the woods by yourself? What? You don't think the problem's gonna follow you? And then he says, this is a 1,000-year-old problem. This is not Hope's problem. This is exactly Hope's problem, because she's a child. She's the whole reason everyone's there. That's when I was like, Jackson, I can't follow you anymore. I can't do it, because you're not thinking straight. You're trying to protect Haley by protecting Hope, and you're not. You're not thinking about this. That's what I thought. I didn't think his plan was sound at all.
I didn't think the plan was sound, but I did think that he raised some good points about the family, and that, you know, this is something that Hope has sort of inherited through her family. It's not her fault necessarily. So I understand his thought is, you know, let's get away from this sort of horrible family. Mm-hmm. But in the same sentence, it's like, well, it's a horrible family, but they are all trying to protect her. And by going off alone, Dahlia was able to track Rebecca, and Rebecca had witches put, you know, spells on her to kind of hide them. Hope's powers is what draws Dahlia and what kind of leads Dahlia to her. So no matter where Hope is, Dahlia is still going to come. And it might buy you a little bit of time, but it's not going to buy you so much more time than what you're going to get at this safe house that they just created for you guys.
Oh, yeah. I can see it happening now. All these wolves are protecting him, and then Dahlia just takes them all over, just like she did Jackson.
Just with her hands.
Whoosh. Done.
Yeah.
Done. And you can see Jackson, I'm so sorry. I didn't think about it. It's like, you didn't, Jackson.
How long does the tea last that you drink that she can't get into your body? Like, do you have to drink it every day?
Freya did not say that
she had to.
But my other question for this now is, so we know that Jackson has been possessed by Dahlia. We find out that, you know, Dahlia's, what is it called? Bonded?
Oh, she's bonded with Freya.
Bonded with Freya. She's channeling Freya. So Jackson has this idea to escape, and Aiden's supposed to come meet them. And then it doesn't work, and Marcel's like, okay, I'm taking you guys to this place. But then at the end of the episode, not to jump, because I did want to talk about this separately, but we have that Josephine has been killed, but it was her spell on the house. Does the spell not work anymore?
That was a very good point, and I bet it doesn't.
Because I was trying to figure out why it was Josephine that Dahlia chose. And so if that's the case, then Jackson is sort of right. No matter what you do, Dahlia is going to find a way to ruin that house. So I do know the backwoods, and we can get to a point of, like, hiding for now to buy us some time.
I think it's honestly still going to work, because I don't necessarily think that all of her power, all of her spells that she's done in the past has gone away. I don't think that maybe witch magic works like that, but I do think that it's sending a message, like Dahlia said she wanted to do, as in that she's killing this powerful, all-powerful witch who's a leader of all, you know, this coven, and I think that that's going to be the message. She can't be stopped.
Okay, I've got conflicting people here. We've got Baby Doll Turner saying that it's unbinded because she's dead, but we've got Freya saying that magic is eternal.
Yeah, like it doesn't die with the people.
But there's no other side anymore. So how does the magic?
Oh, how does it carry on?
How does it carry on if there's no other side?
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm also kind of playing devil's advocate, because I actually have no idea what the answer to this is.
No, we don't have the answer. And I want to say two things. One, somebody wants to know, Katie, did you cry when Josephine died?
No.
But what? Actually,
whoa.
Yeah, I wasn't emotional. Usually I am. I cry.
Did you cry when Klaus cried?
No, but I felt very sad, and like the tears could be welling like far in. But, you know, it's just... It's sad, but I didn't cry, which is kind of shocking.
I didn't cry. I thought it was a beautiful death. But someone just said, Esther died, but the white oak still worked.
Oh.
Did she? Or Esther's not dead.
She's not. She can't be dead.
But she became a vampire, so technically would her witch side have died?
See, this is...
You know, it's complicated.
When you start digging into it, you can
In regards to Josephine, I was shocked that she wasn't immediately willing to help Elijah, because... This problem is Freya's problem. And just last episode, she promised and said, your enemies are our enemies. And then, you know, she just says no. Like, it doesn't seem like there's any loyalty here.
But then Elijah halfway threatens her.
Oh, yeah.
And she quickly is like, well, like I said, I don't lack compassion. Let me do a blessing on this abode.
Yeah, she's very easily switched. We've seen it in the past. But I thought it was really interesting when her and Dahlia, at the end, when Dahlia was talking to her, you could see the terror in Josephine's face.
Yeah, she was scared.
Yeah.
And part of me was thinking, well, why don't you fight back? But, I mean, it's a battle you're not going to win, but... I don't know, for me, I would have rather gone down with a fight than to just...
She's a classy old lady.
I mean, she is classy. She got to play violin, and then she got her throat slit by the... What's it called? The violin stick. I don't know what it's called. I didn't play music as a child, so my parents were horrible. So it's a violin stick in my mind.
It's a violin stick. Is it called a bow?
Oh, maybe. You know what? No, a bow makes sense.
A fret?
Sorry, I said fret, and that's like a musical term, and it's definitely not.
No.
Fret's like with a guitar.
You're right. Right? You're right. No, you're right.
Okay, so something else that I thought of before we move on to one of my absolute favorite couples. When Dahlia was talking, and when they were trying to kill Dahlia, and we find out that Freya is being channeled by Dahlia... Channeling and bonding are different, right? Because last week it was, you know, the kids.
Yeah.
If Rebecca leaves that body and it dies, those kids will die with it.
They're
so
bonded.
Is the same thing going to happen with Dahlia and Freya?
Ooh.
I don't think so, because I think the terms were different. Because I think Rebecca said bonded and Freya said channeling.
Okay. So as long as we're... I just wanted to make sure.
No, but you're right, though, because...
Usually when you channel, they're, like, passed out and they have a mark on their head.
Yeah, but, so maybe I mean, Freya's been walking around being channeled this whole time and had no idea. Yeah.
For 1,000 years.
Which,
she said...
Let's talk about Freya for a little bit, guys, because I know last week I was very not on Team Freya. This week, I believe that she's scared of Dahlia and that she doesn't want to be there, but I still don't trust her.
I'm shocked. Okay. I'm shocked because I love Freya, and I said, like, I would be her first lieutenant. Like, I think she's honest. I think she's truthful. I think her fear is real.
Yeah, and she's just protecting herself at the end of the day, which is why she didn't reveal the secret or, like, the whole story early on. And I just really, when everybody was telling her to get out because they're like, you've known this whole time, No. I believed her. I was like, she is scared of Dahlia. She's running. She's done with this whole Dahlia thing.
She's scared, but she, like Rebecca said, you said it yourself. You are her anchor. So she's channeling you right now. Like, how you are so smart, girl, and didn't know that, I don't know if I can fully believe that statement. Do I believe she actually genuinely wants to help her siblings? Yes. But there's still that part of her that isn't being forthcoming with information that can help her siblings. And I understand why she won't, because Klaus is a maniac and he's killing people left and right. So why, it's like, you're not going to show all your cards until you know you can trust them.
Klaus is the same way though with his things.
He is.
Doesn't show everything at first. So they're alike in that
way. They're siblings. You're they're definitely
cookie.
Related.
Yeah. You're a tough cookie, Tiana.
I am
you're
a tough cookie.
You're a tough cookie. Because I think that at this point, I think Freya, yeah, you know, she didn't know. She made a mistake, you know? But Dahlia's super strong, you know? I feel like Dahlia has the power and the ability to hold that power over Freya. Mm-hmm. And I just think, at the end of the day, Freya just wants to be with her family. And despite Klaus killing Mikael, I think, you know, we're still going to have that family dinner.
But just last week, she said that her plan, she told her plan to Esther was to get all her siblings to hate Klaus. Was to turn on Klaus. That's what Freya said just last week. This is why I cannot trust her.
So easily I forget.
Because he will never trust her. So she needs the kids on her side, siblings on her side, because she has a better plan to take down Dahlia because she knows her very well.
Because nobody wants to work together.
I mean, honestly, they just need to work together is what it all comes down to, but Freya and Tiana just are not going to be on the same page right now.
So you're still on that side. You're still on the Klaus side.
I mean,
would you trust Klaus or would you? I have a question. Let's just say Freya walks in here and just says, "Tiana, I need you to side with me. Hold on, I'm going to go to the bathroom." And then Klaus walks in and says, "I know Freya was here. Either side with her or me, but either way, you know, just remember when the winning team wins and you're not on the winning team, because like he's going to say, I'll kill you. Who are you going to side with?"
He would say that.
Well, yeah. I'm going to side with Klaus.
No way! Get out of here!
No, I'm going to side. He just said he's going to kill me if I don't, pretty much. Which is basically how Josh is feeling right now. You guys like that transition?
That transition was pretty smooth, right?
That transition. That's how he has Josh feeling right now, because he's kind of cornered Josh before, and now he's
Aiden.
Oh, crap. See, I messed up my whole transition because I was saying the wrong name.
I still applaud you. I was there.
You guys knew where I was headed. Yeah. So Aiden gets a phone call from Klaus, but he says it's Marcel.
He said
it was Jackson. I'm getting all the names messed up right now.
You can't say that when vampires have super hearing.
Right?
Or hold on a second. You're Aiden. I'm Josh. Yeah. Like, that was it. It was right over his shoulder. The phone, and it was huge. Klaus. Yeah, it was huge.
It was huge. I mean, you know, so whatever. So Aiden lies to Josh about it, and then later on, Josh sees him at the compound, and he's like, "Oh, I have to apologize for lying to you earlier about..." And when he first started talking, I was like, I'm really confused, because I'm pretty sure that was lying. Aiden.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was all for his apology.
That's why you got confused.
Because of that right there. You know, he kind of calls out Aiden, and Aiden's like, "I'm sorry, I didn't know what to do. Klaus has me in this situation where basically, you know, I don't want to flip on Jackson because Jackson's taking care of me since I was a kid. But if I don't do this, Klaus is going to kill me."
That's what you just did to Tiana.
That's exactly what you just did to me.
That's true. But this is the thing. You've got to, oh God. First of all, Aiden needs to be upfront with Josh.
Yes. And tell him what's going on.
Because you don't lie to him.
You don't lie to Josh.
Mm-mm. And number two, you know, Josh pretty much had the best line of the entire season. Because right when he said that, I was like, oh, you can't deny that. When he was like, "Oh, wait, that's your side of the conversation."
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to use that. I'm literally going to use that. When I want to confront somebody with a heavy-handed apology, I'm going to go ahead and do it for them and then say, "Wait, that's what you should say."
That's your line.
That's your line.
I was mad that he was being so secretive. Like, he feels like he doesn't know what to do. He's so stressed out, and you could see that when he was pounding on the wheel, and like, it's 8:52, and I'm not there. Like, what do I do? He's freaking out. But he needs to turn to the one he loves and the one that loves him, and they're together. They're a pack. Like, he's like, you know, just because I'm not a crescent wolf doesn't mean I don't have my love for my friendship and my pack. So it's like, he needs to turn to Josh and get help from him.
I agree. I agree 100%. And I think hopefully we'll see more of Aiden. And this is the first time I'm saying this, because I'm not going to lie, I've been pretty hard on Aiden and Josh this whole time. But I finally am ready to see a little more. Is it called Jaden?
Jaden.
A little more Jaden.
You're just now getting to that point.
I was always into Aiden.
Yeah.
I just wasn't always into Josh. For some reason, I was just like, you know.
He's got a little boy face.
We haven't seen him in a while, too.
Yeah, we haven't.
Yeah.
I'm not going to. Maybe it was that line. Like, that line has sold me on his personality
His line for me of the episode when he said that you are my pack.
Yeah.
I don't have anyone else. You, Marcel, and Davina are my pack. No. And I would die for you because I love you. He said, I would die for you. Girl!
A second time.
You marry that man when he says that.
I have all those in quotes, and I put cute in caps.
Oh my god, and you have a little heart.
I know.
Like, that for me was just like, oh my gosh, Jaden for the win.
Question. Yeah. Do you guys think Aiden's gonna get killed off?
No.
Okay, because somebody asked it, and I just wanted to present. Yeah.
Like,
I don't believe in that theory, but
I hope not.
Oh my gosh, it would really crush me, but it could go that way, you know?
Yeah.
Like, bring another heartbreak and Josh be angry at Klaus for
everything, for life. But I want to talk a little bit more about Jackson and Aiden's relationship, because we've seen them kind of going through it lately, where we had Klaus kind of whispering in Aiden's ear about how he could be the alpha. We have Jackson, who kind of snapped at him a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then this week he's saying, you know, you're my right-hand man. I need you. We've been through a lot together. I'm going to go into hiding, and the pack's going to need an alpha. Are you up for it? Like, Jackson basically handed over the pack to Aiden to help them escape. And then Aiden lies and says that he got stuck in traffic and doesn't go to pick them up.
And he's been hiding stuff from them.
And he's been hiding stuff. So how do we feel about, do we think that Jackson's going to find out that Aiden's been working with Klaus now and kind of have a big fallout? Are we going to have a giant alpha fight to prove who the alpha is once and for all, and one of them have to die, and it's probably going to be Aiden because I hate Jackson's actions tonight, but I'm still going to be a Team Jackson Wolf in this moment?
Yeah, I think it's going to come out eventually. I'm not sure when, but it's like it's the same storyline as Oliver.
Yeah.
Standing up and, you know,
but they never had to go head to head to really fight it out.
Yeah. I can just see Jackson like gritting through his, because he grits through his teeth when he's really angry, and being like, "We're supposed to be a pack here. We're supposed to be a wild city." And it's just like, what are you supposed to do when Klaus is threatening you? You know, you're not Haley's husband. You're not, you know, trying to take care of Hope. You're not in any position of power.
But aren't you supposed to go to your friend and your leader and say, hey, man, this is what's happening right now. How can we collectively, Jackson and Aiden, work together to get Klaus out of Aiden's way?
He's gone to Jackson twice. But twice Jackson has turned him down and asserted his power and been like, listen.
But he hasn't said, look, dude, Klaus is over here trying to manipulate me into going against you right now.
Because he's still trying to figure out what side to take. And I would do the same thing also, because if I was scared, just like you were going to side with Klaus, if I was scared of Klaus as well, and I tried to reach out to, you know, Jackson in a reasonable manner without, you know, lying to Klaus, just trying to, you know, not lie to Klaus, try and push Jackson into the right area, what would you do, you know?
I just feel like honesty is the best policy, and no one is compelled right now to not tell people stuff.
Yeah.
And if Klaus had compelled him, like, I want you to spy on Jackson for me and not tell him, I understand it. But he never said that, and Jackson is supposed to be your leader and the person who you go to for your problems, and you're supposed to be his right-hand man. There's not supposed to be secrets between those two.
Maybe do you think he can go to Jackson and tell him the truth and stuff and have Haley tell Klaus to back off Aiden, just like you're backing off Jackson right now? like they be a package deal?
I mean that could work, but then I mean the problem with sending Haley in is like, oh, you're sending your little girl to your wife to clean up your mess again.
Because what would happen kind of was thing. As soon as Haley's gone, Klaus is going to show up and be like, did you really think that Haley could do this?
Yeah, like, and I really think that work? This is a great opportunity for Jackson to prove to the audience and to Klaus that he is an alpha, and if he stood up to Klaus in a way of like where, you know, neither one of them has to die or anything, but in a way where Klaus started to respect him, then I think life would be a lot better between them.
Does Klaus ever respect anybody though?
But Klaus will respect you. Like, if Klaus has a little, he's not quite on Elijah's level, but he'll respect you a little bit to where he's not constantly trying to kill you every day. I think he has enough respect if we take it over to Vampire Diaries for Stefan, where he's not actively trying to kill him all the time anymore, because he has that bit of respect. They have a friendship. So Jackson needs to find a way to come together with Klaus for
how is he going to find a friendship with him now?
I don't know. That's the writer's jobs, Katie, not mine.
This is my thing. I want to know, can they be compelled? Now that they're hybridish, they got those powers. Can they be compelled or not?
Can't you still be compelled because he's an original vampire?
Then why hasn't Klaus just gone to Jackson and been like, listen to me, don't question me? Why hasn't he just compelled him?
Because he respects Haley enough to not do that to her husband.
That is some big respect, and I almost cursed. But also, someone said something, and I thought it was funny. They wrote, these mutts ain't loyal. So I think next time we should play that song, and we should sing it. These mutts ain't loyal.
Oh, my gosh.
Be a music video. There should be a parody video for the original called These Mutts Aren't Loyal. I'll do it with you.
Let's do it.
I'll do it with you. We're doing it.
We're doing it.
I want to be Marcel.
Okay, I'm just
kidding. You know, no, I want to be a wolf. Why would I not want to be Marcel?
Yeah. All right, so do you guys have anything else in the episode that you wanted to touch on that I didn't, because I'm not Roxy, so I didn't have the greatest notes to break this show down?
I do have a prediction.
Oh, well, we're not there,
but I'm just, yeah, I guess I'm brainstorming
okay,
out loud.
Okay, let's go to predictions now. See, Donna always kind of jumped the gun.
And now, you're after
That was Tiana echoing it. All right, Donald has one, so he's going to start.
Nobody's powerful enough to stop Dahlia.
I don't like the way that, like, your eyebrows drop and your eyes get all serious when you say things.
I am very serious about that.
I know what you're going
to
say.
You know what I'm going to say?
Yeah.
Because remember, you were all into my theory, too, which officially, I just want to take a moment to officially later ask my theory that Dahlia was Evan Sinclair. I just really think that if there are any writers out there, please contact me, because we can come up with some good stuff. New theory. I think no one's powerful enough to kill Dahlia, except Hope. It's going to come down to the point where Klaus is going to be on the floor, and Haley's going to be bleeding, and they're going to be, like, crawling towards Hope, and Dahlia's going to be standing over her, and then it's going to be like, what's happening? And then Hope is going to kill her.
Hope will kill Dahlia. Hope is so powerful. She is all three of those things, according to what Julia Pluck has said in the past. And CrazyRegan21 tweeted me and said the exact same thing. She said that they think Hope is going to end Dahlia because she's going to protect her.
Sorry,
that was so funny.
I'm so sorry for anyone listening. That was horrible.
No, it's fine. Okay, so Hope is going to end Dahlia because she's going to protect her mother. And that is what's going to happen.
Yes, Claroline. They just want to drink. But yes, okay. I do think that's going to happen. I think that Hope will be the savior, you know?
Yeah, I definitely think that Hope will be the savior.
But I was thinking about it. Are we going to see Dahlia for a while? Like, if we kill Dahlia, like, what is the next plot? What is this?
What if Hope takes Dahlia's power in some way and Dahlia gets to stay? I love her as an actress.
Yeah.
I think she's fantastic.
Hope or Dahlia?
Dahlia.
Hope is so cute.
I just wanted to be clear on which one you were talking about in that moment.
But no, Hope is an Emmy Award winning actress though, so.
Yes.
She is so cute. She's really
She's adorable.
Cute.
Whatever twins or triplets are playing Hope right now, they're killing it.
Yeah.
But I would like to piggyback on you guys' predictions. First of all, I'm just going to say Claroline because Roxy's not here. And then I'm going to say that I think Hope will be the downfall, but I agree with Donald. I don't think we're getting rid of Dahlia anytime soon.
She seems
like one of those big threats, and we just got rid of Michael. So if he was still around, then yeah, we could get rid of her and then we still have him like, waiting in the wings to take down Klaus. But without him, we don't really have anything except for the battle between the wolves and vampires and witches, which can get kind of old sometimes because it's something that we've seen before. Yeah. So I don't think we're going to be getting rid of her that easily. I don't want this to happen, but I'm kind of thinking that maybe Dahlia does get hope. And then the battle becomes how to get her back
before it's too late. That's a really good one.
Make this story longer.
Yeah, yes. To make the story, because we have 4 more episodes left for this season. And then we have next season to start. So there has to be something. And I'm thinking someone said something on the chat roll.
Anthony Bain said, Donald's theories are least likely to happen. Oh, with an LOL. With an LOL.
I mean, they are very, very intense.
They're very intense. I understand that. I do. But I just wanted to say, in regards to Dahlia sticking around and Hope sticking around, that in true Michelson fashion, it's not textbook 101 to kill. You know, people that you hate, you make them suffer. So Dahlia will suffer because what she's doing is like, I don't even want to say the word because I can't say it, but it's not forgivable to them.
Yes.
She is going to get Hope. She has to, because everybody is kind of unprepared and there's only 4 episodes left and something huge needs to happen and this story needs to be longer. But in the very end, Hope will be the one to defeat her. I stand by that.
I like that. I would love to see Hope. I would also love to see, I don't know, maybe a time hop or... Or maybe we could just make Hope like the Twilight baby where she just ages faster, because I would like to see Hope a little older so that we can actually interact with her, so she's not just, you know, the baby being carried around. I want to see her kind of
be powerful.
Be powerful.
Can you imagine a little baby walking
maybe
around?
Maybe like a 6 or 7 year old, Hope just kind of walking around.
And maybe then she'll be able to have kind of a hold on her powers, like know at least what she's doing a little bit.
Yeah. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Can we just... Oh, no, we'll talk about, like, the preview whenever you want to, but Cammie, what?
No, we're talking about predictions in the preview.
What's going on with Cammie? And Katie said it when we watched it. She looked like she was crying. Like, she was upset about something. Who's gonna die?
I mean, Cammie... she's human. She's one of the only... She is the only human we have. So, I feel like, just like Katie can cry at the drop of a dime, Cammie can cry at the drop of a dime, too. Who knows what was happening to make her cry? It could have been she cut her finger on knife.
There are 2 things I want to talk about from that preview. And the first thing, the first scene we saw in the preview was Dahlia making somebody just, like, fall over with the flick of her wrist. Did you see that? Yeah. That's just insane. She's so powerful. I can't try.
Oh my God, I want to be Dahlia. To be honest, I want to be Dahlia. She's so powerful.
She's scary. And the second thing was that Haley and Elijah got really close.
Oh God, I saw that.
I just want everyone to know that they set previews up like this to make you think one thing when it's not actually going to happen. Not that I'm hating on Klaus, but I'm team Jaylee, and I want them to make it work. They were so cute at the beginning of the episode, walking around, calling each other like Mr. and Mrs. Kinner or whatever their last name is, and I just want to see more of that.
She can love him because he's really sweet to her, and I'm not going to argue that, but at the very end of the day, her heart is going to want what it wants. Selena Gomez.
No, but we forgot about Nishi.
Elijah.
Nishi.
Yeah, she wasn't around this episode.
She wasn't, but I think she hasn't... She's coming back.
I don't know. We don't know.
We don't know. Well,
but the Haley and Elijah thing.
Haley and Elijah. We'll see. Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun.
It has
been. Roxy, you were missed immensely, mostly by me.
Yeah, Roxy, I missed you too.
Never leave us again. If you guys want to keep the conversation going this week with all of us, because we love talking everything Vampire Diaries and the originals, where can they find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at KatieEECampbell. That's Katie with 3 E's Campbell. Instagram at KatieCampbell13. And you can find me at YouTube.com/KatieCampbellOnline. I do a vlog every single Wednesday. Tomorrow, I have another one coming out.
Hi, you can follow me on Instagram at Donald Romaine, on Twitter at Tigris Hobbs, and I'm trying to learn this whole Periscope thing, and they're trying to teach me, but also Tigris Hobbs, which I wish, just real quick, I don't know how to change my, never mind, we'll talk about that later.
I don't know either.
Go ahead.
I look at that.
You can make sure you check out all the shows AfterBuzz has to offer at AfterBuzz TV on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. I'm at the Tiana Hobson on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope, and I'm also Tiana_Hobson on Snapchat. And just a quick teaser for everyone, we will have a very special guest guest in studio with us next week for the originals. I'm not going to tell you who it is yet, but I just know that it's someone great and awesome. And if you're a fan of the Vampire Diaries, we will have Mama Salvatore in studio with us Thursday night. So make sure you tune in at 9 p.m. for that. Until next week, guys, when Roxy will be back sitting in this chair and I will be sitting over there as your chat mistress.
Oh my God, yes.
Yes. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.